Mike Fischetti's executive director of the National Contract Management Association, and writing in the Federal Times under the title Changes Happening and in the Right Way, you're writing about three particular moves that you think bode well for the contracting business. But let's start, before we take each one in turn, Mike, with the broader concept about what's going on and that makes you have such a positive attitude, a positive outlook, Mike. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, sir. I think that it's, we hear a lot about what's going on the Hill and acquisition reform legislation, and a lot of the inside the beltway think about procurement and where do we go and should we blow up the FAR and things like that. But, you know, out there in the hinterlands, or not even in the hinterlands, but even in D.C. at the working level, a lot of people are hearing those criticisms and understanding it and in most cases agree. Not always, but irregardless, they're taking matters into their own hands, which they are within their own hands and within their own authority to make lots of changes that don't require congressional action or trade association involvement. They're just doing things the right way under the existing rules as such as they are. And I think I've just observed as I go around, I see incremental improvements here and there. And I think incremental improvements is really what we can best hope for.
Is it your sense that most of the people that are affected by some of these changes, reform, so on, are on board with them? Or are you detecting any resistance to things like the items that we'll discuss that you're writing about?
I think in most part, people are supportive. I think that's true. I think sometimes you have to be careful of what you ask for, because sometimes it's not all good. When you address one area, you don't address another. Or as you know, the government procurement system is one of checks and balances and different constituencies and various conflicting oftentimes initiatives and goals in mind. So whether it's small business or large versus large business, or socioeconomic to full and open competition, not everybody is ever going to be happy.
All right, so there are three things in particular that you're writing about that I want to get some feedback from you on. You write about the Agile Acquisition to Retain Technological Edge Act. It's from the leaders of the House Armed Services Committee, and there are some of these items that they're going to put in the National Defense Authorization Act. And you indicate the bill has, you write, bipartisan support, both the House and Senate, so we can feel pretty confident that the stuff included here has a decent likelihood of becoming law. What's in here that you really like, Mike?
Well, I think they acknowledge, mistakes of the past. I think everybody agrees, it's not necessarily clear in the act, but that, we went overboard in reducing the size of the acquisition workforce, or maybe we should never have reduced it at all. I think there's the preservation of the DAWDF, the Defense Acquisition Workforce Improvement Fund, lots of money that's used to train and acquire, to enhance the acquisition workforce, that stays. The recognition within the Department of Defense of, erroneous or laborious requirements process, and I love the analogy to the, a school bus with everybody on the bus has their hand on the brake, has a brake pedal and a steering wheel, but when the bus crashes, the program manager is the one holding the bag, so to speak. So things like that, the bureaucracy, the ability to slow things down, but not the incentive to speed things up. And I think what I like most about the so-called Thornberry bill is that it acknowledges all of these issues. It acknowledges that unlike past reform efforts where there was this big comprehensive legislation and that somehow we all hoped or expected that things would get all better after that, that isn't the answer. No one legislative, and maybe not hardly any legislation, is ultimately going to improve the process, but it's certainly highlighting the issue. So I think I really appreciate the considered approach, the over 1,000 comments that were received from various constituencies and communities. They're really taking their time and trying to do things the right way, and knowing some of the people that are involved with that effort from NDIA and others, that they are trying to head in the right direction. Truly believe people want to do the right thing as opposed to anything politically expedient.
And you use a word there that I hear leaders at the Pentagon use on a regular basis now, and I think that it's a good development, and that's the word incentives. How are we structuring the incentives to get our people and to get industry people to do what everybody agrees is the right thing? That's one thing, I guess, that makes this job a little bit easier, is pretty much everybody has a universal understanding of what the ultimate good outcome is, I guess.
Yes, sir, and especially as highlighted by no less than the Secretary of Defense himself, when by going to Silicon Valley and talking about the fact that we need input from all the technical and manufacturing prowess of this nation, that we have communities of interest and in companies and sectors that are not involved. You know, that you know, not that there's anything wrong with the traditional contractors that support the government every day, but that are we getting all that, you know, all that startup energy and all that innovation that we see? You know, of course, that the easy example is our smartphone. You know, is the Defense Department taking advantage of that? There was a time when we led in those areas, and now we kind of follow in many cases. So are we developing the weaponry ready for the next century as opposed for what we thought was the threat, you know, 5-10 years ago?
And this takes us into the second item that you're writing about. Mike Fischetti's executive director of the National Contract Management Association, writing in the Federal Times. The title is Changes Happening and in the Right Way. You write about Better Buying Power 3.0. You mentioned Dr. Carter, the Secretary of Defense now, and he originated Better Buying Power about the same time that Bill Lynn was on this program, still Deputy Secretary of Defense, and talking about that same idea involving Silicon Valley and all of the other potential partners and players that are not currently involved in defense acquisition, getting them involved in defense acquisition. And I wonder what's changed between that time, let's say 5 years for the sake of argument, then and now, because when Carter and Lynn and the others at the Defense Department suggested it at the time, people thought, yeah, that would be great, but that'll never happen. And now, I don't know that anybody assumes that it's automatic, but I think it registers on people's radar screens as something that's possible or likely. Is that fair to say, do you think, Mike?
Yes, sir. I think, you've had the Affordable Care Act website thing, much talked about, you know, contractual issue at its heart, further missteps or late delivery of programs, the sequester and furlough, which has pushed the issue of budget up to the forefront. And when we start talking about limited dollars and is the Defense Department spending, which is still a big chunk of change, but are they spending in the right way? And so it's combined with efforts like, you know, BRAC and other areas and, you know, military personnel costs and things like that. Is that are we highlighting, are we emphasizing areas where we need to go? And then I think you have a new Secretary of Defense that, you know, comes with somewhat of an acquisition background, you know, somewhat unique for us. And we have, you know, strong, knowledgeable, credible leadership in that area that further highlight that. And I think it forces people to take notice. And then, as we already mentioned, the bipartisan nature of the current efforts on the Hill, and that, which, you know, of course, bipartisanship is not something we see every day.
The third thing that you're writing about, Mike, is GSA's multiple award schedule competitive pricing initiative. And this is one, I guess, where we start to lose the era of good feelings kind of atmosphere. Roger Waldron, the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, was in here this morning writing about, or telling me about, the 17 pages of comments that they submitted, where the figures that they have are dramatically different from what GSA expected as far as how much it would cost vendors to submit this information, not just to start up, but on an ongoing basis, the time that would be involved to do it. This is one where there's not a lot of agreement about even exactly what GSA hopes to accomplish.
Yeah, well, you know, now we're talking transparency and pricing on the schedules program, different initiatives GSA is undertaking to take on that area and to try to get more transparency so that contract officers have all that information ahead of time. And so now we start, you know, getting into those areas where it's hard to please everybody all the time. And so I appreciate Roger's thoughts and others that along those lines. And this will be where GSA has to try to do what's best for the greater good. And I know that they are reaching out heavily to the various constituencies to try to get their involvement and support and input on whatever they end up ultimately doing.
Well, and it seems to me that that's something that maybe the vendors might take a little bit of heart from. Certainly the way Roger explained is very persuasive, and he'll be on the program later in the week, I believe, to talk about what exactly where the CGP is coming from and the vendor community is coming from. But I wonder if it's not something that we might be able to accomplish a better outcome. Maybe GSA doesn't ultimately get exactly what it wants, but maybe the vendors don't have to do what they find egregious, and yet there's still some value that can be added to the customer agencies being able to get at this information.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think transparency in buying is, I don't know how anybody wouldn't be supportive of that. And certainly the contracting officer and, you know, Mr. Sharp at the FAS has talked about this. You know, we're buying the same widget over and over, you know, hundreds or thousands of times, perhaps a year. You know, on one end of the government may not have the information that the other government is doing. And so, you know, when we talk about category management or strategic sourcing, that's what you're talking about, is making sure you have that transparency and trying to leverage the buying power of the government in a more effective way. And again, like in all, everything in government procurement and all contract awards, for every award, there's a winner and there's a loser. And it's making sure, though, I think what everybody wants and what the number one program, you know, along with meeting mission requirements, it's fairness and openness. And in the federal sector, you know, that's what's paramount, is that fairness aspect.